Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Seth Habager.
Good morning, everyone.
We hope you're having a great start to your day. Thank you so much for kicking it off with us. Happy Friday Eve, everybody.
Yeah.
Bunch of good things lined up for you this morning. Seth and I, in just a little bit, are getting into our National Day of Calendar for this Thursday.
All right.
A little bit later, got some fun ones here for us. Is AI about to steal our jobs? This is to a lot of our radio people out there.
Uh-oh.
And some other broadcasters. We'll get into that.
Isn't it already done that?
It's pretty much done,
I
yes.
think we are AI, aren't we?
I think we may be. We'll check.
Unaware.
We'll check each other. That's okay. The best, safest way to do it. Hacks hacks to stop snoring. That's coming up a little bit later as well. And then the 8 o'clock hour, we'll get into Misty's menu, birthday and anniversary club. Looking forward to that. Got some other fun things in there. 9 o'clock hour, we are looking to kick it off with our friends at the Southwood County Humane Society and have our pet of the week. Who knows who our furry friend will be today? A cat, a dog, a rabbit? It'll be fun. It'll definitely be fun. We want to send a big shout out to our friends at Members Advantage. Members Advantage, our sponsor this week for the Pet of the Week. They are. This is for Canine Veterans Day, which is on the 13th.
Yeah, that's very cool.
On March 13th, we honor the canine members of the police force and the military for Canine Veterans Day. We remember those beloved pets who served their country and their veterans. This week's Pet of the Week is brought to you by Members Advantage Credit Union in Southwood County Humane Society. With Members Advantage Credit Union, free checking accounts are easy and simple and, yes, free. Open your checking account today. Say hi to our friends over there in the Rapids and Plover locations.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to kicking off the 9 o'clock hour with that.
Yep.
Of course, I have some entertainment news for you, some good stuff in there. We got Goldie Hawn. We got, we're pronouncing Fast X wrong. And, yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And Jimmy Kimmel. All in there. All in there. It's going to be fun. And of course, we'll wrap up the show with some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day. Seth, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right. Good. Another day, new day. Bright and sunny. Oh, no, it's not sunshine. That was yesterday.
It's you know.
I'm having flashbacks.
It's funny what we'll take
I know.
At this time of year. I noticed it. I was talking to my dad, and he was like, hey, it's going to hit in the 40s or something.
Yep.
And he got so excited. He's like, he's thinking about doing stuff out on the lawn and everything. Like, Dad, you still can't get out there. You're so excited.
No, there's still, yeah, I know. It's spring fever, man.
I think these are the toughest spring fever because that's what it is.
I think
these are the toughest days. These
yeah,
are to me the
so
dog the dog days of winter are always right here in March, March and April, where it feels like we should be done, but we're not. No, we're not done at all.
Not at all.
Got some time left with this one. We'll find out more about that when we get an update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't want to get into a good opening story for us here, Seth. And this one, I believe this touches on a number of different subjects that you guys are all going to enjoy. The Bible and our fingers and swear words. And
wow, okay.
One of the Bible's Ten Commandments is not coveting your neighbor's house, wife, servants, or animals.
Right.
But if your neighbor is a jerk, then God is cool with it. He's all right. It's all right. We got this from a high up of source.
Oh, okay.
The courts in Canada. There was a court case up in Canada where two neighbors got into a really nasty argument.
Okay.
One guy swore at the other and threatened him while holding a power tool in a menacing way. I hope it was a screwdriver.
I hope it was something that was actually menacing, you know.
Or like a divider or something, like just or a ruler.
Yeah.
I hope it's just, you know, just something.
Hold that in a menacing way, a car buffer maybe.
Yeah, I was thinking of like some of the like a Bondo that we like a Bondo thing or something.
Very threatening.
In response, the other guy just flipped him the double bird.
Ooh.
The quote victim, gosh, we are throwing that word around way too much. The guy who had the fingers thrown at him. The guy with the potty mouth and the victim and the guy with the potty mouth and the power tool was appalled and filed a criminal harassment claim against him.
Wait a minute. So he was threatening him. Well, quote unquote, threatening him, allegedly threatening him. And he swore at him. And yet he is deeply offended by getting the double bird.
The guy with the power tools was offended.
Yeah. I mean, what?
Yeah.
Come on
yeah.
now.
That's a little. Plus, I got to wonder. the guy that brought this is going to bring this, trying to bring this to court, all that stuff and everything. We'll get into this in a second. The actual court case we'll get into in a second. But he's got to have friends. And what do you do with your friends? You vent, you talk, you ramble to them and everything. So he's told them about this court case. As friends, oftentimes we try to take our friend's side or just, you know, find the silver lining or just be supportive.
Exactly.
I don't know how you could be this man's friend.
How?
I don't know how you could spin this. Like, yeah, you're in the right? No. Wait a minute. You're taking up the court for this?
Yeah. His friends are going to be flipping him the bird constantly now.
Yes.
That's all
yes.
they're going to do.
Absolutely. Yes. Now a judge has ruled on the case, especially now, Seth, and he was not impressed with the accusation. The judge said giving someone the middle finger is a God-given right that belongs to everyone.
Wow. Nice.
He added, quote, "It may not be civil, it may not be polite, it may not be gentlemanly. Nevertheless, it does not trigger criminal liability." He also said that he wishes that he could literally throw the case out the window.
Literally throw it out the window. Oh, that's great. Oh, my gosh. Would that be? He takes the brief, the paperwork, and just throws it right out
like
the window.
Gets up, opens a window.
Very deliberately.
Literally, like, but you know what would happen? Like, the wind would blow it back in.
Right
and he's
back
like,
in
he's frustrated.
And, turn into a comedy sketch, yeah.
Yes, definitely. I turn everything into it's funny because we usually, with America, is usually the one that gets blamed for having overabundance of court cases.
Right, and, of course.
You know,
nuisance
silly court
things,
cases, that kind of thing. Here, Canada had to step up and in our That Ain't Right story right away.
I think
off
we
the
should
gate.
Thank Canada for that. You know, show that we're not the only ones that are litigious. Yeah.
Couldn't be farther from Florida, yet so alike. Oh. See, we're all connected, everybody.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, eh? We're all connected, eh?
It doesn't really matter that much,
No,
I mean,
it doesn't.
Where you're from the Great White North, or if you find a beer in your bottle, I mean, you're gonna try to return that.
That's right, you are.
Strange brew. I one other thing about this, because there's Chris Rock special the other day. It was watched it, and there was a couple of things that really stood out to me about it. I didn't think it was his greatest special by any means, and there were certainly parts to pick apart. But one of the big themes of it was a victim and what is a true victim,
right,
and what isn't, and the idea that we throw that term around so loosely nowadays. This guy calling himself a victim when there are people, we could just stick in Canada that are. They're actually victims that actually have suffered some struggles and some hardships.
Yep.
There are people listening right now that are genuine victims, but would never call themselves that, would never look at themselves at that. And it's not that far-fetched to me, and it's not that much of a coincidence to me, that being a great leader is very similar to what it is that I know that the true victims are, what it means to truly be that. And it's a silent leader. It's a silent thing. I've never seen a great leader say, "I'm going to be a leader right now.
Right.
I'm going to lead everybody." That doesn't seem to work usually. That person ends up going by themselves usually. But a real true leader just leads, just does his or her job, just does what they do.
Does it by example, but also is able to, in a situation that warrants, you know, some kind of leadership, they just kind of naturally, you know, fill that role. It's not like you said, they're not going to announce, "Follow me now."
Yeah.
They're going to just start doing it, and people will follow them because they're able to make people, not make people, but, you know, get people to organize and get together and let's do this thing, kind of. Yeah.
The people that are true victims out there, the people that do deserve our empathy and our care and those things, often don't call themselves that, think of themselves as that, or look for that. And it's more of a silent thing. And I think that there is some... there's some grace in that, but that also calls on the rest of us to understand the differences of what is a victim, but what isn't, and throwing this term around. And I am all for, you know, feeling for somebody. Hey, sorry you were in that fight.
Yeah,
that's messed
up. That's
a bummer.
That's a bummer, yeah.
Probably shouldn't have picked up the power tools. But anyway, sorry about the fight. But,
2020 hindsight, no.
You know, but also understanding, hey, you're not a victim. You're not, you know, I mean, you don't get to call yourself a victim when you were the one with the power tools. Like, I don't know many scenarios where you can be the one.
So we can make a few assumptions about this case. We can assume he's got a house. You know, because he's got a neighbor.
Right.
He lives. He's got a nice place to live. Yeah. He's got power tools.
Yeah.
Which means he's probably doing all right financially, you know, probably. True. So, you know, yeah, you're doing okay. I'm sorry that you and your neighbor don't get along, but hey, come on, man. Things could be a lot worse.
Could be a lot worse.
Yeah.
Maybe just suck it up and go, you know, live your life.
Go drink a Molson, eh?
Yeah, there you go, Derry.
Blue.
If you're looking to get outraged, if you're looking to get vent or get some anger out, just wait. You'll have your opportunity. This was not it.
No.
You'll have a genuine opportunity to do it. Life will give that to you. Just wait for it. You don't have to search for those things.
Go to a Maple Leafs game. Oh, no. That'll make you more angry.
Yes, definitely. Poor Maple Leafs. Man, it's tough to be a Toronto hockey fan. Take a break right here. We'll come back with our National Day of Calendar on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you on this March 9th, 2023. Time to dive into our National Day of Calendar, where it is World Kidney Day.
All right. Go kidneys.
Kidneys are great.
They are. We kind of need them.
Mine are horrible.
They're very angry at you for some reason.
Mine do not like me. That's my own fault. That I did that to them. That's my own fault. I am not a victim. I did that to myself.
Your kidneys are the victims, right?
Could I blame Mountain Dew? Could I blame the soda companies? Absolutely.
Yeah, they had a part to play,
I chose to drink it.
You drank it.
And man, am I paying for it. My kidneys are horrible. But I do appreciate the mighty kidney.
And
it is fascinating. It never gets old to me, no matter how many times I read about it or think about it, how we can survive on one kidney.
That is pretty cool that we have two and we only need to use one. That's great.
I never really looked too deeply into it, but figuring out how we figured that out.
Yeah.
Like that feels like one of those things that I don't want to say was an accident, but like we didn't exactly like plan on somebody. We had to, you know, remove a kidney and that person lived. I'm like,
hey, that's
right.
Cool.
Hey, everybody, we don't need both. You know, and then all of a sudden it came an option to be able to, you know, give that to somebody
else. Exactly. Donation, which I'm guessing is part of World Kidney Day, is a little more awareness of that.
Yeah, exactly. It is a day to bring awareness to that. In the International Federation of Kidney Foundation, or IFC.
IFCF.
As they're better known.
Yeah.
These are, and the International Society of Nephrology.
Okay.
These two organizations come together to bring to create the World Kidney Day.
All right.
It was first celebrated in 2006, asking the above question, are your kidneys okay? The idea that there is a great need to educate the world about the importance of kidney health and reduce the impact of kidney disease.
Yes, indeed.
The goal was established to raise awareness of what our kidneys do and what we can do to help them work properly. So there are a number of different things. There are a lot of different celebrations about the kidney. According to worldkidney.org, there are 8 golden rules. I'm just going to go through a little bit of this.
8? Oh, my gosh.
Keep regular control of your blood sugar. About 50% of people with diabetes will develop kidney damage. Keep fit and active. Staying active helps you in many areas of kidney health. Eat healthy and keep your weight in check. Water, water, water. Keeping hydrated is good for your skin as well as your kidneys. Stay hydrated, people.
Yep.
Flushes toxins and all that.
Yeah, it's good for you.
No smoking. Stop it. Smoking is bad in many ways, but for your kidneys, the chance of developing cancer in them increases 50% for smokers.
Wow, that I did not know.
You got a 50-50 shot of getting cancer if you are a smoker with the kidneys.
It's not even your lungs. It's your kidneys.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
Me neither.
That is the first time I've ever heard that. Stay away from over-the-counter medicines for chronic issues. Many over-the-counter medicines, such as ibuprofen, can harm your kidneys if taken regularly. It is okay to take for emergencies, but see a physician if you are having chronic pain for options that will not cause harm. Mm. That's a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
That one and like stay awake kind of things, like pills that give you energy and stuff, over-the-counter things like that, they have a tendency to go straight to your kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
And because we don't feel anything like on the surface, we don't see any, you know, we're not breaking a bone here or anything like that. We don't think we're doing that much damage, but that stuff adds up.
Yes. Ask anyone who's on dialysis whether or not they would choose to do a few different things, because I know a few people, and that's it's just it's a pain in more than one way.
Yeah, take care of your kidneys, everybody. Mm-hmm. And take care of your false teeth, because it's National False Teeth Day. My Aunt Nay was one of the toughest people I'll ever meet in my life. I miss my Aunt Nadine is still alive, but she has had Alzheimer's dementia for almost 10 years now.
Wow.
But they're still with us, and we're very happy about that. One of the toughest human beings I've ever met.
Sure.
If you look up the definition of spitfire, that's her. She would take her teeth out, her false teeth out, and chase us. And like and like chomp on our arm.
Oh my God.
And it was just, it was the freakiest thing as a kid. I loved her so much.
Scary.
Oh, she was great. That's she was great. So great. Oh, it was great. Now, this is the day that we think of George Washington. We think of a couple of different people with this one.
Famous people with false teeth, right? Yeah.
It is pretty cool. I think I genuinely believe that dental care should just be taken care of. Like, we should not have to worry about our teeth.
I totally agree with you.
Healthcare is another topic, and I think the same thing about healthcare, but that's a different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Dental care should be done, taken care of, not our concern, not our worry. Every human being should have good teeth.
100%.
I don't see what the big harm would be, other than maybe the dental industry, which is doing fine and would do fine even under these circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to pay these people? We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But every human being should have healthy teeth.
Well, we have found out in the last couple of decades how important having healthy teeth is to the rest of our body.
Yeah.
It's like it's a system that needs to work together in order to function properly.
I would respect and appreciate the government and the powers that be and all these things if they were just honest about stuff. If you don't care about our bodies, then quit trying to control our bodies. Mm-hmm. Quit giving us laws about our bodies, laws of what we can and cannot do with our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
If you care about our bodies, if that's what the whole role of government is supposed to be, part of what the role of government is supposed to be,
right?
Then you can't just tell us, well, ladies, you can't have an abortion. All right, well, you can tell me what to do with that. Well, then take care of my teeth, maybe. Yeah. Why don't you step up a little bit? Like, you can't have it both ways.
That's a great point.
You can't say it's no different than involving religion in government. You can't have it both ways. If the rule is no government, no religion in government, that's the line in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't complicated. There's I understand that it seems like there's a lot of gray areas, and I focus a lot on gray areas in our conversations in life, because I think that's the majority of life. I would say 89 to 90% of life is a gray area.
I'm with you.
Not these. This stuff's pretty
certain things
cut and dry.
You would think.
You can't say it if you're not going to back it up.
Right.
It is National Crab Meat Day. Now, you can't call it National Crab Meat Day if you're not going to back it up. Where's the crab meat? It's
real crab meat. It's not imitation crab meat. It does not say imitation on there.
Sometimes when I get going, it's hard to turn it off.
It's hard to stop tripping over the soapbox there.
I don't understand. Where's all the crab meat? Oh, boy. James is stuck.
Oh, he's
stuck. Everything he's getting passionate about.
The needle's stuck on the record there.
National Name skipping. Tag Day. Where's everybody's name tag? Government should be handing out name tag. My mom loves crab meat. You a fan of crab meat?
I like crab meat in a lot of things. So, yes, crab meat, National Crab Meat, good day, in my estimation.
Do you have things where you can't eat them because of the smell? When I was a kid, I tried crab meat, and I haven't tried it since because of the smell. Like, I can't even get it to my mouth because my nose won't let me.
Okay. I remember I grew up in a family which every Christmas we had lutefisk, which is the worst smelling food on the planet, and I still ate it. So actually, you know what? And I'm not a lutefisk fan anymore at all. Not really.
Yeah.
But I can't think of anything else that really would get me. You know, if the smell is bad, if it still tastes good to me, then I'll get over the smell. That's fine.
I like the idea of our cultures coming together for Christmas and bringing dishes and nobody being able to breathe. Like between mine and yours.
Nobody. Oh my God. Open a window. It's cold outside. I don't care.
I don't care. Can't breathe. It is National Name Tag Day.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
If everyone had name tags, then we'd all know each other, right?
I think that'd be kind of a funny world. I want to write a sketch like that where everybody walks around with a name tag.
Yeah.
We live in a world well over 7 billion people, meaning we are all surrounded by individuals constantly. However, it is unfortunate fact that many of us feel alone, out of place, and even anonymous within the hustle and bustle of our daily lives. National Name Tag Day has been doing its best to do away with the situation since this inception, allowing all of us its visually proclamation, look at me, to the world around us.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How to celebrate. Calling someone by their name evokes an almost instant feeling of greater familiarity that referred to them than Mr. or Mrs.
Right.
Not to mention the third-person way people who are older or have more authority that we all are addressing in other languages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Calling a person by their first name is also much more personal because, as Freud notes, a name is an extremely integral part of a person.
That is very true.
And that's why the world would be a much friendlier, much a more open place if we all knew each other's names. And chances are we'd all feel much safer and more trusting of others.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting experiment, wouldn't it? Just to see if, I wonder if there's a way we could try that out.
How about that for a national law?
Yeah.
That you have to wear a name tag. You always have to have a name tag visible. Like the whole world agrees to this. Imagine how much lower would crime be? Now, I'm not saying that a criminal would wear a name tag, but instantly, if you see somebody without a name tag, okay, that person's probably a criminal.
Mm-hmm. Are they hiding? Yeah.
Yes. Now, maybe that's a person that forgot their name tag that day.
Yeah,
maybe,
right.
But still, this like you're going to be more assumptive of a person without a name tag than say a person who you don't like the cut of their jib, you don't like the color of their skin, something like this.
Yeah,
we would put more focus on the name tag, and maybe that would lead to us being, you know, racist towards people with name tags and people without or whatever. I don't know. But it might simplify hate. Yeah. And isn't it all we can hope for now?
Can we just make it simpler? Yeah. complicated.
Isn't it one of our dreams for many of us to get to a point in society where we dislike each other just because we're jerks?
Yeah.
Not because of the color of our skin or religion or any of those things.
Yeah, so there we go. There
just
we go.
Don't have a funny name tag. Like, I don't like the cut of his name tag. Something about that guy. His name tag.
It's a standard name tag all over the world. What are you talking about?
I don't care about his god he plays to or what the color of his skin, but that name tag bugs me. It'd be a better world.
It would be.
And we all know each other's names.
Which would be cool.
Panic day.
Did you get out of your system?
Got it out of our system.
You got now panicked.
We can move on.
Yeah.
It's also, no. Panic day is the one day of the year that it might be just okay to give into the emotion that we all try to keep pretty in check. Panic.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
It's National Panic Day, along with it being National Get Over It Day.
So panic, then get over it.
Yeah.
There you go.
I guess so. All right. let's face it, most people can be found guilty of holding on to many different things from the past that tend to hurt, annoy, confuse, or anger them.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good day to let those things go, or a reminder to let those things go, or to work to.
Yeah.
Most people will tell you it doesn't happen overnight. But I can say that while there might be people from my way, way back past, like young, you know, before I even moved to Wisconsin kind of thing.
Wow.
There's maybe a little of that, but genuinely, I can say that I have no grudges.
Right.
Outside
me too.
Outside of Kevin Costner. I have no.
For some weird reason. But yes.
I genuinely don't. I genuinely don't. And I think that the greatest revenge in life is moving on. Revenge is cool in like a book or a movie or a TV show and everything, but in reality, it's pointless and doesn't add up and doesn't even any scores, doesn't make anybody feel any better. And chances is that it keeps going back and forth.
Yeah, and it hurts more the person who's having those feelings than the other person who probably doesn't even care, you know? So, yeah, holding on to that kind of stuff is not healthy. And, yeah, it's a good way to try to get rid of things. And if it's to the point where, you know, you feel like you have to, you know, make amends or something like that, it can actually lead to some healing as well.
Yeah. I think, like, if you think of this in a situation of lovers and somebody, one lover wronging another, that person already took enough from you. I think the last thing you should do is allow them to take more of your time, your energy, your brain, your well-being. Moving on.
Yeah.
Best revenge you can have.
Mm-hmm.
It's National Barbie Day.
Hey, Barbie.
Barbie. I don't know a thing about Barbie.
You don't know a thing about Barbie?
No, you didn't have no one in your family.
Well, my cousin did.
My sister did a little bit, but she wasn't too into Barbies.
And I don't know
if we could afford them, to be honest. But I know that my cousin liked them a lot, but she seemed so bored with them all the time. Like, she would get something, play with it, and like 5 minutes later be done with it.
My sister had a few, if I remember correctly. Mm. She had some Barbie, and we actually had I don't know if it was from my grandma or someone else, had one from the 60s. One of Barbie's friends, who's not around anymore, Midge.
Midge?
Midge, Barbie's friend. Yes, she had like short brown hair.
I was going to say she had brown hair, didn't she?
Yep, I knew it. Yeah. So we had like a classic Barbie along with the more updated ones. I always thought it was weird, you know, so you could move Barbie's legs. Mm. But they made this awful cracking sound when you did it. You feel like a chiropractor, so you want Barbie to sit down, you know, so you move her knees, crack, crack, crack. It's like, that sounds weird. It kind of creeps me out a little bit.
The Barbie movie is coming out in July this summer, starring Margaret Robbie as the blonde and Ryan Gosling as
Ken.
As Ken, yes.
As Ken doll.
They're both really good actors.
Yeah.
That choose really good scripts.
Right.
So I'm very interested in why they chose this. Michael Cera, Kate McKinnon, and Will Ferrell are also going to be in there, along with Simu Lee.
Wow.
Or Simu Lee.
Kate McKinnon's going to be in that?
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder what she's playing.
That's a huge cast. So I'll tell you two things that means. One, everybody was paid really, really well.
Mattel's got deep pockets.
And I'm guessing it's a different script than we're expecting. Whatever we're expecting, it's going to be a little bit different.
Oh, that's good.
Margaret Robbie and Ryan Gosling choose very different scripts usually, and this is way out there for their usual choice. So I'm guessing this is not going to be the kind of Barbie movie we might expect it to be. I don't know. We'll see. The history of National Barbie Day is the history of Barbie herself. The day marks the official birthday. Barbie debuted on March 9th, 1959 at the American International Toy Fair in New York. She was a labor of love from Ruth Handler, who was the wife of the co-founder of the toy giant Mattel, Inc. Mm-hmm. After watching children playing with baby dolls and paper dolls, she thought that the toy market needed something more. After a trip to Germany where she saw a doll that was in line with what she wanted, she convinced her husband and the company to make the first ever mass-produced doll with adult features. Listen to your wife. This is another lesson.
How smart. She's brilliant.
Where's Mattel without Barbie?
I don't know.
I mean, they're all right. They're doing fine.
But Barbie was the knockout, man. That was the thing.
It's one of the biggest toys of all time.
Of all time.
Yeah. It's a big one.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Barbie's such a big toy. Like, guys, we know about that toy. We know what
everyone
that is.
Everyone does, yes.
Like, I bet a lot of girls probably don't know, couldn't name you half of the G.I. Joe characters, maybe. You know, stereotypically.
Yeah, right.
But we know Barbie and Ken.
Well, I'd tell you one thing. If you're, there's only two of you in the family and you have an older sister, you're playing with Barbies with her, just so you know.
A lot of it, yep.
Yes,
a lot of it,
you
lot
will
of
be
it.
Playing
well,
Barbies.
Well, I did with my daughter. Yeah, my daughter played a little bit. Not so much with Barbie, with dolls. We'd have tea parties and stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was fun.
So get over it now. So get over a day.
Yes.
Just go in there and just do the Barbie thing, okay? It's all right. So it's cool.
If your daughter asks you to play with Barbies play or have a tea party or anything like that, you're not a man if you don't do it in my book.
That's right.
National Meatball Day.
Oh, I love meatballs.
Yes, the mighty meatball.
Yes, any way, shape, or form. I'm there, man.
Love you, meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
Meatballs are great.
They are.
Meatballs are made by taking ground or mincing meat, such as beef, pork, or lamb, mixing it with spices, breadcrumbs, eggs, and other ingredients, and then rolling them into a wonderful ball and cooking them.
Of goodness.
Cooking methods vary, of course. The delicious invention has been documented in culinary records many times throughout history. There's a record of a Chinese recipe that may date back to 221 BC.
Oh, awesome.
And, of course, my people in ancient Rome can also make a claim on meatballs thanks to a surviving cookbook that holds a variety of recipes that with balls of meat.
Okay. I'm going to find that. I want to make those.
Yes.
I want to make those ancient Roman meatballs.
I'm with you. Yeah. I want to try the Chinese ones,
too.
Yeah,
those sound good, too.
These also meatballs have also long been a staple of Persian cuisine, from which the technique of gilding, coating, or glazing the meatballs originated.
Oh, wow.
Known as kofta. They are consumed across the Middle East and Asia, with vegetarian versions particularly common in India.
Makes sense. That's there, cool.
There's also a very popular version in Turkey called kofti, which kufta, yeah. I think yep. it is, which has many different variations.
See, it's a universal. Meatball is from any culture. You couldn't find a meatball. Yeah.
We don't want to forget our Swedish friends as well with Swedish meatballs. Those are also very good.
Oh man, you haven't lived till you've had my killer Swedish meatballs.
Yeah,
they're authentic, man. Authentic Swedish meatballs.
This is one of the few things I'm not that picky about. I will try all kinds of meatballs. Yep. I love meatballs. They're mm-hmm. great. And it's Popcorn Lover's Day.
Oh yeah.
The wonderful, great, wonderful popcorn.
Okay, now, have you ever met anyone who hates popcorn? I know there's people who are like, I can take it or leave it. But I don't know if I've ever met anyone who says, I hate popcorn.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think I have. I don't think I ever have.
I'm sure you're out there somewhere, but still.
Popcorn may have been enjoyed as far back as 6,000 years ago.
Wow.
And of course, we thank our Native American friends mm-hmm. and brothers and sisters for this one. Now, the commercial popcorn machine dates back to 1895.
Wow.
That changed the way popcorn was consumed. The snack is classically known for being consumed in movie theaters as far back as the 1900s.
Wow. So even then they started it. So they needed a place to eat their popcorn. So let's invent movies.
Yes.
That's what it was.
That's where movie theaters and everything came from. Every one of us from the 80s have probably a burn on us from a popcorn machine.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Somewhere on
incredibly hot. Yes.
You've got on your hands or something like that, a burn from one of those kind of devices. We will take a break. We'll come back after Melissa's news and have some fun. It's Seth and James taking you through your morning at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy. Start your day. Hope you're having a glorious day.
Yeah, there you go.
It works. Something like that. Glorified day. No, that doesn't work. Glorious day.
You know, now that we've had the time to look back at, like, this record, Born in the USA, that Springsteen, now that all the hoopla is gone and mm-hmm. everything, that's a darn good record.
Now, I don't know if there's a bad song on it.
No.
It's a good record. It's a complete album.
Yeah.
It is a complete album. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's his best album. I haven't really thought too much about that, but mm-hmm. it's hard to say that he, you know, had a better one than that. It's, if anything, because of all the hits, like, wasn't there four huge hits
off
of that
or five or
one?
Something? Like, ridiculous.
Nowadays, there's, like, two, three artists that can do that.
Yeah.
Back then, it seemed like there was at least a dozen.
Amazing,
that
yeah.
That kind of banter, you can't get from anywhere else. Only real radio announcers can give that to you.
That's right.
And mess up last names.
Yeah.
Have their voice go out on them in the middle of a conversation or something.
Live radio, baby.
Get on their soapbox every 20 seconds. You've heard of, or have you heard of ChatGPT? ChatGPT is an AI that could steal a lot of writers' jobs. It's a AI system where you type in there basically what you want it to say. It types it up, and boom, there you go.
Right.
We've got the AI system that's drawing now, where they do portraits and they do paintings mm-hmm. and such. So there's been some fear in the creative world of these AI systems right. taking our jobs. And now they have come for ours.
So. Oh, no. Oh,
yep.
No.
Now there's one threatening to steal the very job you and I are doing right now. It's called Radio GPT, and it uses the same tech ChatGPT does. A software company in Ohio just released it, and the good news is, for us, it is pretty lame in at least the current versions of it. The AI voices almost sound human, but not quite. Think I could fool them? Maybe I could do it like, you know, we'll say we have this system and then I just talk like this.
Yeah.
That, like, I maybe keep my job another day.
Yeah. Once. And then they'd realize, wait a minute.
Hey, hang on a second. Yeah. It does sound almost human. It's designed to do everything we do. Play songs, take calls, do interviews, tell you about the news, even local news and traffic. And in rare cases, try to be funny.
Oh, dear.
Now, that's not that different than me. That's not that. I mean, ever, you know. I try very hard. I don't succeed, but I try. They launched a demo site where you can check it out if you want. The general feel is it seems like something other robots might enjoy listening to.
Other robots?
Yes, yes. Not human beings, but other robots may enjoy this.
So we may be closer to the robot, apocalypse here soon if we're now trying to find ways to entertain robots.
Yeah, first they came for our entertainment. That's the first thing they did. Yes. Slate.com talked to two of the guys behind it, and they claimed they're not trying to steal our jobs. They say that's the furthest thing from their goal. Huh? Who do you think you're fooling with that? Like, do you actually think anybody believes you?
Yeah, exactly.
They claim it's really meant for times of day when hosts like us aren't working anyway, like late at night. Mm. Or it could take shows like ours and translate them into different languages so we'd reach other people in other countries.
Okay.
But these are two people, they must not work in radio. Because if you work in radio, now I'm not saying this about civic media, mm-hmm. but the majority of radio companies that own the majority of radio stations in America.
Yep.
They want to computerize everything.
Yep.
The less human beings in the building, the less people they have to pay.
Exactly.
But they still get all the money from advertisers and everything.
Yep.
They get all the money and all the benefits without dealing with, you know, that whole thing about paying employees a fair wage and making sure they have insurance and these kind of things.
Yeah, you know those basic things.
So these guys are doing everything that they can. These guys are helping those. Yep. Like, we are one step closer to that world because of these two.
Right.
They also think... even if they do get better, though, the real question is, would you, the listener, still enjoy a show if you knew the people talking were emotionless robots, not human?
Hmm.
Would you enjoy it more? Hmm. Would that be something more inclined to be enjoyable?
Well, about? I think just off the top of my head, a couple of things, actually. But first, you know, maybe the novelty at first, you know, of listening to, wow, this AI, which... Again, the whole AI thing being thrown around, that's being thrown around way too much.
Yeah.
We're nowhere close to anything that's like real artificial intelligence. Just keep that in mind, everyone.
Yes.
What they call it doesn't mean it actually is the thing.
It can't think for itself.
No, you still have to program it.
Yeah.
It's still programmed with our stuff. So just calm down, all right? But second of all, I don't know, man. You know, is it any better than, you know, like a completely automated station where they just have, you know, like breaks and, you know, you're playing music and then you have little snippets of conversation with artists kind of thing? Is it any different than that? I don't know. It doesn't seem that different.
I thought this a lot of this stuff started when I first started in radio, mm-hmm. and we were, you know, we got rid of local morning shows, and we're gonna bring in Bob and Tom. They're from Indiana. It'll be fine. And all of a sudden, the numbers drop mm-hmm. because people in Wisconsin don't want to listen to a morning show in Indiana,
right?
And vice versa.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want it if they were in Indiana. Might not want to listen to this. Might
no.
you know? It's the idea that radio got less and less personal, got less and less local,
mm-hmm.
and the more it did that, because radio was always a regional thing. It mm-hmm. was always something
yes,
that
absolutely.
Your favorite radio station was one that you could get in on your radio
yes.
that other people couldn't in a town over
right.
or state over or something like that. We got away from that the more and more voice tracking took over. And mm-hmm. And the more automated things became, the more technology improved, the less the entertainment part became, where
yeah.
it became easier instead of paying people to be in a building. I'm just going to pay you an hour to do 10 hours of voice tracking.
Yep.
And I don't have to pay you to be in the building.
Exactly.
And so all of a sudden, all personal request lines go away.
Yep.
And people start pulling away from the radio more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do something like this, I genuinely believe that would be the death of radio. That if you told me that AI systems were running all the shows, they were doing the interviews, all these things. A computer can do a lot of great things.
Mm-hmm.
A computer cannot think of a follow-up question. A
no.
computer cannot think of necessarily a funny incarnation in a moment or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Yep.
We're going to have, take three in town tonight over at the Performing Arts Center.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage you, if you've not gotten tickets, get your tickets at SaveOfTheArts.org and go see this amazing band.
Yeah.
We got to talk with Taylor, one of the members of the band, and we had an amazing conversation with her. We start out, and I asked her about racquetball. And she's a violinist. She's a world-famous violinist. She's played for Yanni, all these people. Mm-hmm. And I ask her about racquetball, which she absolutely loved because nobody has ever asked her about racquetball in an interview in the 30-some year of her career or whatever.
Right.
Because she's a racquetballist, and she's done that and stuff and everything. But does a computer think of doing that?
Probably not.
But if you want to, if you are the owner of a company, if you are a radio owner and you own a lot of then I can save money. I can do this.
I can make, bottom line, man. Bottom line.
I don't believe, I wouldn't listen to that. Personally, I do still listen to some radio, and the radio I want to listen to is because of the human beings. I want to hear hiccups. I want to hear mistakes. I want it because that's a human being. That's conversation. Nobody you've ever talked to has spoken perfectly through a whole conversation.
No.
There's always hiccups and mess ups, and we mispronounce words and all that. That's what people, as far as I've been able to tell, that's what people really want. They don't want a perfect voice. And they don't want a robot. They want human beings.
Human beings, a human touch.
With all of our flaws. And my God, do I have a lot of flaws. Take a break. Come back. Because we didn't have time for that.
That was an interesting thing to end on. Okay, we'll go. Get that from AI. Can't get that.
We'll be back with more on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. I want to thank our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Seth and I will take it to the top of the hour, then we'll have CBS News. After that, we'll have the Weather Eye Weather Center join us, get a live and direct update from our friend Paul Trombley, more than likely. Find out about what's going to be happening overnight tonight, because it does sound like we're going to get some of that white stuff tonight.
Indeed.
When we're done talking with Paul, Seth and I are going to get into 10 times actors declined or got rejected for a shady or petty reason. Should be an interesting one.
What? There's petty and shady things in the world of entertainment?
It's shocking.
I'm shocked.
I hope you all were sitting down for that. This is an interesting one. A few weeks ago, there was a weight loss hack that involved tricking yourself into thinking you ate more by cutting your food into pieces and scattering them across the plate.
I heard about
that,
yeah.
Researchers from the University of Cambridge say that you can cut down on snacking by simply pretending that your most recent meal was bigger and more satisfying than it actually was. So basically, you're lying to your stomach. You're conning your stomach.
You're trying to con yourself, right?
You're prepared to devour a sleeve of Thin Mints, but then you imagine that your last meal was this big, filling buffet, and suddenly you don't want all those cookies anymore. They conducted a series of experiments where everyone ate the same meal of rice and sauce, then participated in varying exercises, including visualizing the meal, and they were offered any amount of cookies as a snack. The group of people who were told to imagine the meal they ate was twice the size it was ate the fewest cookies on average.
Okay.
They still ate cookies, though.
There's a few things about this study that I've got questions. Let's put it that way. I've got questions. You know, this sounds like a classic case of the old wanting to please the people who are doing the research kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because, man, I don't know. It seems a little loosey-goosey to me, but...
Nothing worth having comes easy.
No.
And if you really are really struggling and you really need to lose weight, chances are there is no quick fix. There is no easy way to do it. You got to work at it. You got to, you know.
Maybe that'll help some people, vivid. People are really good with imagining things and you can really convince yourself. And if that's the issue that because some people don't eat because they don't feel full. They just eat because of other reasons. It's not because they're like constantly feel hungry. It's because there's other things going on. Or if they have an eating disorder or, any number of things that could be the reason why.
It's one of those things where I don't begrudge anybody for trying this. Try it. Mm-hmm. I would not. But the problem is when it comes to people, whether you're trying to lose weight, you're trying to quit this, or you're trying to, start doing this more, case may be, every little thing that goes wrong is one more, sign from the universe that I'm not supposed to do or whatever. And don't get discouraged from these.
Yeah.
that's a big one. I think, having that's a good support system and not letting yourself get discouraged on these things as they come up and maybe they don't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
This is not one of those things that I would think would work for a lot of people, especially if I'm being quite honest, strong-minded people. Mm-hmm. I've known a lot of strong-minded people and they are not very good at conning themselves. They are not very good at lying to themselves.
Right, right.
So, and that's kind of what you're doing here. You're pretending. You're lying. Pretending is just another word for it. It's just a quote, nicer way in our society to call it that, but we're lying to ourselves with this. And that doesn't tend to usually lead to good results in whatever you're talking about. Lying very rarely leads to a positive result.
Exactly.
It may lead to a more convenient result. It may lead to one that involves, it's easier for you, but not the person you're lying to. And that includes yourself.
Well, yeah. And I would like to draw like a line of, for you know, there's one thing to lie to yourself, and there's one thing to tell yourself, you know, like if you're trying to build yourself up with self-confidence. Now, that's different because that's you're not necessarily story. Lying to yourself. Mm-hmm. You may not feel it, but it's not like it's not true. You know, like you are very good. If you tell yourself, you know, like, well, list your things that you're good at. And for a lot of people, that's hard to do. You know, to say, you know, well, I'm good at this. I'm good at this.
Yeah.
And it's not because it's not true. It's just because you have trouble dealing, you know, realizing it and telling yourself that. You focus Absolutely. On the negative stuff and all mm-hmm. that sort of thing. So that's a little bit different than outright like saying, you can fly.
Yes.
Because you can't.
No,
matter how many times you tell yourself you can fly, you're not flying. No.
It is a it's a great point to bring up.
Yeah.
It is something I think that it is good to do for yourself too when you're looking in the mirror. I look good today. You know, everybody should do that. Everybody should feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And some days you're not gonna. You're not gonna be looking no. you're the best and everything, but you know, it's not a bad thing to do that.
Yeah.
You deserve that confidence and that feeling. That's a good point, a differential to make there. And if you are trying to lose weight, trying to quit something or gain something or what have you, keep fighting out there.
Yeah.
You got a good support system. We believe in you.
And I would focus more on being healthy, not necessarily losing weight, but just being healthy, you know, trying to get that activity in, trying to eat better or whatever. As long as you're being healthy, I think that's the main reason. That's the main thing.
We are going to take a break here. Let CBS News come in and do their thing. When we get back, we will be joined by our friends in the Weather Eye Weather Center, see what Mother Nature has got in store for us in the next 48 hours or so. And throughout the weekend.
Shaking her head, get some dandruff on us.
I know we're going to have 30s, 40s. I know that part. That's all I've been focusing on. I've been fine with everything else. We have more coming up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.